Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hey guys, I'm Umar Paganavke Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. It's binge watching Star Trek Discovery. That's what we're doing. I don't know if we can actually call it binge watching because we're doing this week on week, but the name of our show is Binge Watch. So, Star Trek Discovery, Season 1, Episode 9, the fall finale called Into the Forest I Go. This is the last episode we will get until January 7th or January 8th in Malaysia. And there's a lot that goes on, but before we get into that, can I just say one of the coolest moments in this episode is when Lorca puts in some eye drops so he can stare at the Klingon ship.
That was cool.
He is such a badass. He's like, my eyes are broken, but I want to see you die.
Yeah.
That was I literally clapped when that happened.
There's a lot of good Lorca moments. A lot of good everyone moments in this.
Yeah, actually.
And everything moves along. And it turns out that we haven't been watching the first 9 episodes of the series. We've been watching the pilot the whole time.
Wow. Okay, so let's go through character by character because there's something that happens with everyone in this show.
Except maybe Saru.
Oh yeah, nothing happens with Saru.
Nothing spectacular with Saru.
No.
He's still trying to get over his encounter with the Parvans, clearly.
Yes.
But let's start with Gabriel Lorca. So it feels like Lorca is the kind of captain who will do anything that runs against what the Federation wants.
Well, there's something. It's something more sinister than that, isn't it?
So in the beginning, he kind of disagrees with the Vulcan Admiral again and lies about going to Starbase 46 and instead kind of does this very cool spore jump while mid-warp.
Yeah, so apparently conservation momentum is no longer a thing.
Nope.
That's cool with the spore drive. But also, you know, I was thinking, I wrote in my notes, Lorca's not a complete nutbag. Because a complete nutbag would have said, you want me to run from a fight and leave, you know, run from a fight? And that's...
Yeah.
Would lead you to think, there's the warmongering Lorca.
Yeah.
But he adds, you want me to run from a fight and leave a peaceful species to annihilation? It's like, he's not all asshole.
Yeah, but I just think he's being manipulative.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares about the Parvans. I think he just wants to face down the Klingons.
Yeah, but he would have, you know, if he wanted to be sneaky, because he was really bad with doing that with the Admiral, like his begging face and all that kind of stuff. But like, this felt like, maybe it's just Jason Isaacs. I just want to believe him.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that it was an excuse. Like, he was throwing it out there so that maybe the Admiral would go, okay, you know what? For the Parvans, you can stay.
But don't you think he was just playing everyone in this episode, right? The way he was talking to Stamets as well, it feels like he doesn't really care about his crew either. Because
even though Stamets says, once he finds out that they've been capturing all this data, is like, I didn't know you cared.
Yeah.
And I was like, clearly, buddy, he doesn't care. He's messing with you.
Yeah, and it's a whole new thing that might prove Uma's theory, Uma's crazy Charlie Day theory of like, he was like, when you go back and look at those scenes where he's trying to convince Stamets to do it, he started to talk about sacrifice before even talking about what they're going to do.
Mm.
Then he's wanted the 133 drums so they can capture the Klingon bird of prey, coffin ships.
Yeah.
Cloaking algorithm.
Data.
Yeah. But also, Stamets mentions, like, if we had more jumps and more data, we'd be able to find out about these pockets that could possibly be doorways to alternate parallel universes.
Yep.
So, and before Lorca queues up the disastrous jump, like, he chose it. He says, let's go home.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So what the hell is going on with Gabriel Lorca?
Where is the home, right? He's messing with the control panel. Ian and I both took screenshots of it. And the control panel freeze frame shows override Lorca G. And it shows spore jump 133 unknown.
Yeah. Whereas all the other ones have like the kind of standard
coordinate data.
And he says, let's go home.
Yeah.
Which maybe Lorca's from the Mirror Universe. Maybe he's from the mycelium plane. I don't know. I mean, it's clear that's why he's doing all these calculations. But also, does that explain why he's so protective over Burnham? I can't figure it out.
I don't know. He's really good at fixing stuff.
Yeah, I don't... Again, this could just be because I don't watch enough Star Trek. I don't have the back knowledge of it.
Mm.
I don't see him as being off the mycelium plane or from the Mirror Universe. I just thought he was being sneaky. He's doing something for selfish reasons.
When they were talking about like the number of tying together the number of jumps for the Klingons, and also they needed more data on the mycelium plane to chart these parallel doorways. And then Stamets, when he's in the middle of one of those jumps or near the end of it, he's like, "Oh, that's where they go."
Yeah.
That's how they do it, the clearing in the forest. That's how they go or something like that. And he's like, who's they?
Yeah.
What the hell is that all about?
Yeah,
but... the fact that Lorca is getting these jumps, he's getting two birds with one stone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's very clearly keying in some data he's gotten from that.
Yes.
So the Mirror Universe thing is because the ship twinsied before in its jumping disco ball drive effect.
Yep, yep.
And it went, apparently it went in the opposite direction to where it normally goes. When it kind of, you know, it kind of goes, that kind of disappears upwards, it disappears downwards.
Yes.
It went in the opposite direction. But I think the Mirror, I mean, I had a quick look on Reddit and someone was talking about like, you know, maybe he was on the Buran in another universe and there's an explosion on that ship that threw him onto the Buran in this universe.
Oh. Is okay.
Because it's like, it seems it's pointing to parallel universes.
Now, oh, no, yeah,
maybe mirror is not correct and maybe it's mirrors because Stamets again says, I can see them all.
Yeah.
So many infinite possibilities and permutations. And also, his problems with, now he has problems with his eyes as well.
He's got glazed over cloudy eyes.
Whereas Lorca has problems with his eyes as well, which might have been from transferring across in another way.
Also, can I just say, the references and the callbacks are becoming fewer and have been since, you know, the first episode and so on and so forth, which I quite like because it feels like Discovery is building its own mythology now, which is great. I mean, you had a little bit of fan service, and I'm not necessarily looking out for that anymore in every episode, but it's nice that they're kind of building all of this stuff with the mycelium plane and the spore drive, and we're really getting new Trek. Yeah. However, you know, they've jumped some different now, and I swear to God, if someone turns around and goes for 70 years away from Earth, I will kill them.
Oh, if it's Voyager 2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the thing I was expecting is a big battle and there's all stuff, and I was expecting to see this, like, scrap float past the screen. It's like USS Kelvin.
That would be fantastic.
And then Thor floats past the camera.
With both eyes.
Chris Hemsworth is still around.
So that's Lorca. Now let's talk about Ash Tyler.
Doesn't know who he is or what he is. It's fantastic. Oh my God, he's not a sleeper agent. Oh my God.
I think he is the sleeper agent.
He's doubling down, yeah.
But he doesn't know what he is. That's awesome.
No, he doesn't.
That's a nice twist to it. I was like, because I was thinking...
I mean, so that's how they tried to play Dr. Bashir, right? That's how Section 31 tried to play Dr. Bashir in the DS9 episodes, and that they said, you're a spy. And he's like, are you crazy? I'm not a spy. And like, no, but the Dominion, what they've done is they've kind of deep implanted in your brain, so you're collecting all this data and you don't even know you're a spy.
No.
Okay,
so they're doing that sort of sleeper spy type thing.
So this is that thing about me not knowing enough about...
Well, I don't think that plays
into
too much.
No,
it's more that, I mean, one thing is there was a kind of a Psy thing, so maybe they cut the top off Ash Tyler's head, popped Vok's brain in there, and just slammed it shut, and then, you know, brainwashed him somehow with microwaves and all sorts of crazy things so that he thinks he has the memories of the other person.
So, like, see, this is the thing, right? Like, I...
Because the flashy scenes did show Vok's eye.
It did.
Yeah, there's one flash of like Vok's eye.
Oh.
And then like Tyler starts recreating the Katy Perry song, which if you ever think you're a plastic bag, because he's in a plastic bag for a lot of that.
And it happens a lot in sci-fi, right? I mean, even in Babylon 5, they had deep sleeper cell personalities kind of implanted into the telepaths, so they would only come out and completely take over the personality.
Once you tried a code word, then they would flip.
Right.
And once they flipped, you couldn't get the old personality back.
Okay.
And maybe that's what's happening with Vok as well. Maybe Ash Tyler was captured and then implanted with this memory so he would actually be a real human or pass off as a real human, but with all of Vok's secret personalities recording data.
Until he gets to be the captain of the Discovery or something like that, and he's alone in his ready room and he gets a message and it's like, you know, the sparrows have flown the coop, and then all of a sudden it's like, I am the Klingon.
I am Vok.
I am Vok. I will not eat these Chinese... crackers anymore. I will take over this ship and fly to Klingon space and no one will question me.
Because
shut up, Saru.
The way Laurel says soon as well felt almost like a threat. I will not let them hurt you soon.
Mm.
What's happening to me soon?
I want the next episode now. Yeah.
Also, we got to see Klingon nudity.
Yes.
That's a first for Star Trek.
Yeah. And that works as well for his brain trying to process what's going on there, because, you know, he's seeing himself with Laurel as Tyler, whereas maybe he was with Laurel as Vok.
Okay, got
exactly.
it. Exactly. Got it.
Also, you know, this is the first time Star Trek is actually addressing something like PTSD, possibly even male rape, which is what he might have experienced, because when he was
talking, that's what they're pushing it, but yeah. Come on, he's Vok. all know he's Vok. I mean,
no, but even it was a really powerful moment when he was kind of confessing to Michael, and he says, I let it happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Because... And even the Admiral spots, this is PTSD, but this is because I think what they've done now is we've run out of red herrings and we're down to red sardines at this point.
Clearly.
It's like, okay, we're trying to make it look this way, but he's really Vok. But like, it could be PTSD, but he's really Vok.
Okay. Still, whatever they're alluding to, I guess all of our fan theories aside.
The fact it's 9 episodes and we still don't know is genius.
That's one. Yeah. But also, I think Star Trek's doing well to address PTSD in this way. Because in the past, whenever something happened to a character, by the next episode, they're 100% fine.
Yeah. Because it's the future.
Everyone gets okay, no problem.
Yeah.
The hologram doctor comes in and injects you with something.
It's the 24th century, 26th. Is next gen, I think.
And what, people just get over it?
Well, therapies come on a lot. Like 1 hour, you get a lot done. Your hour is up and we will never meet again.
Yeah.
Because you're fired now. Yeah.
So we don't know what's happening with Ash Tyler. We're 9 episodes in. Also, this is probably the fifth version of Stamets that we've seen. We've seen angry Stamets. We've seen delirious Stamets. We've seen confused Stamets in the last episode.
Now we see kissy Stamets.
Well, kissy Stamets, but also just calm Stamets.
Yeah.
This is my last jump, Captain. After this, I'm going to see La Boheme.
Yeah. Which is Rent is based on La Boheme, right?
Correct.
When he was in Rent. Yeah.
That's right. Which is, I know. A bit on the nose, but still kind of cute.
Yeah, that's fun.
But you knew bad things were going to happen to him, right? Because he kisses his lover and then he says, Let's go watch one more jump.
And he's like, he says, one more jump to get the crew out of safety. He's like, no, I mean, one more jump done. Like, I'm sick and tired of being poked
with
this thing.
And then we're going to go spend some time at the opera. Yeah. Oh, it's always a bad sign.
Yeah, take out a photo of your lover while you're at it and write a letter home saying you'll be home soon.
Remember Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just bad things.
And then, I don't know, it was the spore drive screwed, because when they did make that awful jump, it froze on the inside.
Yes.
They were like frosted up on the glass. Like, now, they do have a garden, right? Which is where they get the spores from, right?
Yeah. Yes.
They showed Burnham that early.
In the third episode. Yeah.
That's where the tardigrade appeared on the Grissom? What was the other ship? The Gus?
No, correct.
Was it Grissom? I can't remember the name of the ship anyway. So... it's not like, well, they're out of spores. I mean, they were using 2,000% times more spores than they had been usually using for Stamets' jumps. Yep, that's maybe they're a little low, but obviously they can't jump back without Stamets.
But another very, very cool thing, 133 consecutive jumps, yo.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That was great.
That's like that's the Picard maneuver over and over and over and over again.
No, but you say that, but every Trek in the past has always made a point to make the starships look completely lame in battle.
Yeah. Well, right? It's always because if you make them look real cool, then it loses a sense. Like, it's an escalation, you know?
I know.
It's always like, it's the same. It's the whole point of Voyager. Every time they encountered the Borg, they had to come up with a new way to beat them, and they came up with a new way to beat them. And then the Borg were utterly toothless by the end of it. Even at the beginning of this, when they're squaring off against the coffin ship, and the Discovery turns on a dime, which they can do, you know, but they do that generally, you know, use the retro thrusters or something like that. But generally, next gen, they would use the warp engine, the impulse engine, and do almost a Star Wars-y style, like, you know, we're being propelled around and do a turn, as opposed to flip on a dime and fly out the other way. But once it got going, it seemed to have some momentum in it. So it's tricky because Star Trek is always about naval battles. A lot of these sci-fi things are. They have to be about that.
That being said.
And also, they're not even using like long-range phaser things anymore. It's now the pew-pew-pew-pew guns a lot.
Yeah, but that being said, jumping in and out and just shooting the crap out of that ship was wonderful to see.
Oh, yeah. And you could see the ship. Like, it was like, can't they see it? You could see the green outline of the coffin ship, right? Which is, again, another cool thing. The cloaking shields were not the mirror effects that you usually get, the kind of smudgy effects you usually get when they decloak. Because, you know, usually it's like you just see the background and then it kind of like the ship appears and it's kind of like...
It kind of decloaks in stages, right?
Yeah, you're looking through, like you're looking through glass that is slowly being painted on.
Right.
Whereas this is like there was green, almost spore-like things popping along it or something like that. So... I don't know. It's just like maybe it's even like Species 8472 comes from the fluidic space.
That's right.
Well, this is Spore Trek, and now they've jumped into Star Trek. where it's only warp drives and there is no mycelium plane or something like that.
Oh man, I'm so confused right now.
It's just that the fact that Discovery, no one's ever heard of the Discovery before. The spore drive thing doesn't exist. It's like they very clearly jump, like it's going to be the Enterprise or something will happen across them. Like they're in the main timeline now or something. Yeah, yeah. Or they're in the timeline where humanity is the evil ones. Or they're in the timeline where Klingons are the good ones. Or in the timeline where everything's the same but nachos are made out of, you know, beef instead of cheese. You know, it could be anything. Anything could happen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. So I think I don't think they're getting home anytime soon.
No. Huh. Which brings us to our main protagonist, Michael Burnham.
Mm.
There is some closure for her. She gets to fight Cole and get her beloved captain's badge back.
I thought that was the admiral's badge at first.
So did I, actually.
Because there is a certain thing with Discovery that the kind of picket can be pretty bad sometimes in dropping some notes. Like they set up a lot of things and it's incredibly clever what they're doing, but at times they can be dumb as a bag of hammers when it comes to signposting things.
Yeah,
I did like him picking his teeth with it though.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool, very cruel though.
Yeah, cause, especially because like, oh yeah, we ate her.
Yeah, yeah.
In case you didn't get that.
Also, very, very cool use of the Universal Translator.
Excellent.
I thought that was very clever.
Yeah.
The Hunt for Red October effect.
Well, the Hunt for Red October effect, but also this notion that which every kind of extremist dictator, politician, government plays on, this notion of, you know, Michael going, human ingenuity, it shows our urge to communicate. No, you're trying to suppress our language and change us and steal that away from us once again, right?
But he's just spelling a line because he knows that's what the line is.
Yes, but that is every dictator, every extremist politician spouting a line when it comes to language. It's really cool.
Which is very cool that, like, first of all, she speaks into it and it speaks Klingon back. He's like, you speak Klingon? And he says, you speak Klingon in English. Yeah. And it's like, nice. I like that a lot.
It moves it along quite
Also, whoever designed those sensor pods needs to be shot because they are the noisiest bloody things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
We're going on a secret mission. All right, turn it on. It goes like this.
Sensor turned on.
Yes.
Connected to sensor 2.
Covert sensor activated.
Sending secret messages back to Discovery. I'm just like, come on.
The other...
Also, it's massive.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, seriously, you guys have phasers, you guys get warp and spore and stuff, and you have this massive kegs of beer you're carrying around.
Microbrewery.
Like, what is going on?
I also, my other piece of favorite Star Trek tech, they finally did something. The lights on the away team jackets were used. I was like, thank you, finally.
Yes, they do a thing.
They've been taunting me since the first episode, and now it's like, yes.
I like that they actually turned it on as opposed to just them walking in and suddenly gets dark and it's
like, yeah, they turn it on
like
and look around like
sort of grabbing it.
It's fine, but it makes you walk around like RoboCop. Yeah. We have to turn your shoulders first where you're looking. Yeah, like you can't look behind your back because it's still dark back there.
The writers also seem incredibly intent on setting up some serious heartbreak between Ash and Michael.
No, gotcha.
With everything that was going on in this episode, right?
Yeah,
she saving his life, the heart to heart they had afterwards, trying to cope with his PTSD, them curled up on the couch together.
Yeah, that was weird. Why didn't you just go to bed? Why were they both like, she was wearing PJs?
They were tired, man. They just came back from an away mission. They fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Fighting Klingons is tiring work.
But serious, serious heartbreak happening there.
Mm. I think as well, they're also building this thing into Burnham where I think she mentioned to Sarek at one point about like using, and Philippa Georgiou, you're not using your resources. I think she needs to learn that people aren't resources. She said the same thing to Lorca, is like, you know, you're not using your resources to the best of their abilities. It's like, people aren't resources. There's more to them than that. And the fact that she's echoing that again, like the fact that they use that word resources, she's going to learn that Ash Tyler is a resource that she may not have access to for much longer or not the way she likes it.
Mm. Does saving an admiral give you any kind of leeway? I mean, they gave Lorca a medal. Surely they can commute her sentence in some way because she keeps talking about it. She's like, I'm a spent force, right?
Mm. I mean, it's favoritism. I don't know. I mean, you know, you could have asked Admiral Cornwall, but she was on the plot shuttle to get her off the Discovery as quickly as possible.
As quickly as humanly possible.
On their adventure into the forest.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, she's arrived in that emergency shuttle. I was like, shuttle?
That was quick.
It's like, we have a spore drive. We can get her to hospital quicker.
How convenient.
See, again, it's one of these things they just dropped. It's like, also, was it... Lorca as well mentioned that he'd steal the line from Harry Mudd about, like, you know, you could have been a scientist back home sitting in a lab, but instead you decided to boldly go where no one's gone before, right?
Yeah.
And Harry Mudd had said, like, you're boldly going all over the place, it's causing trouble. So I wonder if he just steal it from that, or...
I have a question about the spore drive. Is Stamets the only one that can do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he modified himself by injecting himself with the mycelium juice.
Oh, that's right.
The tardigrade juice.
And that's illegal. I mean, it's eugenics, so it's illegal.
Because they couldn't just take turns.
And what did he say? His brain's turning into white matter or some stuff like that?
Some weird thing.
The technobabble is like said so quickly and mumbly, I can't even catch it because I think they know like someone's going to call us on this. But it is something, there's something going on with his brain a lot.
Mm. How did we feel about Cole dying?
I was surprised.
We didn't know much about him.
No, anyway. But I think that was the problem for me. I was hoping you've developed a kind of villain in Shadows over the last 9 episodes. I was hoping we'd see a little bit more of him.
Vandal Savage. I've been here the whole time.
Correct. Yeah. Then again, maybe Laurel's supposed to be the villain all along, right? So maybe they were just gearing up for that and Cole was a distraction.
Maybe the journey was the
villain all along.
Oh.
But I think it's also like, again, talking about uniting the houses, like their de facto leader with their godship or their temple worship ship is now being blown up by the Federation again.
Yeah. I was very surprised.
They weren't too miffed the first time when Matukuvma died, but like he hadn't done anything yet.
He hadn't.
No, the cloaking devices are out there. Yeah, sure. And also Starfleet doesn't have that anymore because Lorca's got that on board with him and didn't send it on in an email.
Because 11 hours, right? It wasn't going to get there yet.
Yeah. His wife wasn't on the high speed internet.
Didn't have access to it. Yeah.
So space internet, but. But he is the leader of their houses, and he was on their holy ship, so they blew that up. So maybe, and Burnham did it again, so now they have a double jihad on her, and like, I don't know, maybe that will bring
you
the Klingons together.
You killed Takuvma and Cole?
And Cole, yeah.
We really hate you.
Yeah. Maybe we should start just nominating you to lead us, because you kill good.
You've taken out enough Klingons.
Yeah, you've taken out 2 of our top Klingons. Maybe you should lead a Klingon.
Yeah, there was a lot happening in this episode. And I think it was a really good setup for, I guess, the second part of the season. See, I'm not a fan of mid-season cliffhangers because I think it's just kind of stupid. It ends up being really, really forced because they don't want to try and keep the audience coming back in January or whenever this weekly show's come back.
Well, again, it depends because TV has changed.
It has.
When it was Best of Both Worlds Parts 1 and 2, it was annoying.
But that wasn't even a mid-season one. That was an actual season cliffhanger,
but
right?
That's where they primarily came from. And then they got into the mid-season one with November sweeps and things getting more competitive. But this show now is like, it's built around the schedule. I mean, the grittiness is getting less. I mean, like they're not getting a Christmas break. I'm sure they're pedal to the metal to make sure they can hit January 1st or January 7th, but I felt it worked incredibly well because, like it says, it feels like this is the end of the pilot, and now they're somewhere new, and I don't know what's going on. I'm not bummed that I have to wait, but I'm going to be amazed no matter what they're doing because, again, they haven't tipped their hand in one way or another. We know. I mean, I didn't even quite peg that Lorca was evil until I went back and watched it again.
Same here.
Yeah, and then I watched it again the second time. I was so busy looking at his fingers, I didn't quite catch it. He said, "Let's go home."
Yeah.
To Evil Town, where I live.
Yeah, like I completely thought it was an accident, that jump, that final jump, until Uma showed me that photo. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Because first of all, I went in and was trying to figure out the numbers and the letters, because A1, B2, C3, and I was like, okay, that's that. And then it's just like, hang on a second, the next screen spells out even easier. Oh, Lorca, you overwrote it. Okay. Thank you, effects guys.
Yeah. But also, he was almost too nice to Stamets. That's what gave it away for me first.
I bought that.
And that's why going back, I was just like, I must look at the map thing again. Yeah. When he's like, oh, we need more jumps and we can get more data. We could even travel. We could even figure out how to go to these parallel arts. It's like, oh my God, that's what he's doing the whole time.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the idea, right? Because Lorca doesn't care about science. He's not even necessarily an explorer.
But he does say what?
We've
taken this ship full of polite scientists and turned them into fierce warriors.
Exactly.
So that they will do great in the Terran Empire when we get back to the Mirror Universe.
Clearly, he wants Discovery to fight his own war.
In the Mirror Universe, it's not a Federation, it's the Terran Empire. And it's like humans lord over, like Spock is a slave race kind of thing. Vulcans are a slave race. And it's to get ahead, you have to murder your superior and things like that.
Whoa. That's cool. I want to watch that show.
I think we might actually get that show.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be crazy. Star Trek fans are going to be pissed.
And it turns out the Dark Mirror Universe was our timeline all along.
When Donald Trump was president.
This is how it starts.
there were a bunch of cool moments, right? I think the other cool moment, apart from the Lorca putting eye drops in, was also, even in the beginning, when he turns away from the view screen as it jumps to warp. because it's too bright for him.
Oh, right.
Mm. Which was a very cool moment. Also, crouching down phasers ready. I mean, that's an Abrams move, right? When you beam into another ship.
I think they did it before in the original series. Okay. I think so. But it's, again, it's, you know, the rules of the transporter made up as they're going along.
Correct, correct.
My thought about when Laurel jumps on Ash's back.
Yeah, transporter shouldn't work like that. But it worked in Star Trek 5, really? 6, The Voyage Home, when... Wow. When the girl hugs Kirk, she hugs Kirk and jumps on board. Like, it's just like, oh, we've got two signals, we'll just drop one right back where it was.
Because I was doing that thing of like, wait, when they land, are their bodies going to mesh?
They're going to be Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, it's going to be weird.
Yeah. It's going to be Vok.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, the two of them mingle, and that's why like, you get smooth headed Klingons. They got to get to the smooth-headed Klingons at some point.
I really hope they don't explain that. Really, that would feel like such a cop-out if they felt the need to explain smooth-headed Klingons.
Not to explain it, but they just do it, and then someone goes like, oh, I'm a little less ridgy than before, and then just, that's it, walk off.
Maybe on the Orville.
Maybe.
But yeah, I think collectively we're all very happy with the direction of the show.
No, and yes. I'm not super annoyed that I have to wait until January, but yeah. It's like, okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think also, like, I hope the people who are listening to this sort of don't feel like this is you have to be a Star Trek fan to watch this show, right?
Well, you're not.
I'm not, and I'm completely on board. Yeah. And I think if you haven't watched the show or if you're...
Stop listening to this podcast. What are you doing? This doesn't make no sense if you don't watch the show.
Yeah, but if you are listening to this and you're not watching it because you think that it's a Star Trek show for Star Trek fans, I think you should give it a try because I barely know the characters of the previous shows. And I'm completely on board with this one. And I think you'd like this one. I think
on board, eh?
Hey. Yeah. So yeah, I think give it, really, just this one's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, folks, let us know what you think of Star Trek Discovery Episode 9, Into the Forest I Go. You can, of course, tweet us. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahe Wyatt.
You can talk to us on Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/@themoviesmy. You can email us on movies@bfm.my. There are so many ways to talk to us, so just keep talking to us. We love talking to you about this kind of stuff. Also, what we're going to do over the fall break or the mid-season break is we're going to bring in some other people on to binge watch, some new Trek fans, some old Trek fans, and talk about some of the episodes that have come before in The Next Generation, on DS9, some of the movies. So what we want you to do is give us some suggestions. What episodes would you like us to talk about? It doesn't matter from which series, even movies. If you like any of those original movies or want to hear us talk about even the bad ones, we will watch it and do it for you.
Even Spock's brain?
Even Spock's brain.
Con!
This is Binge Watch on At The Movies, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.